I have to reconcile myself with the fact that, yes, I have killed people. Not many people. Most of them are not very nice people. Apart from one person.
Who's that?
This fella, Danny Alaban's brother. He's just trying to protect his brother. Like you or I would. Just a lollipop man. He came at me with a bottle. What are you going to do? Shot him down.
In my book, though. Sorry. Someone comes at you with a bottle. That is a deadly weapon. He's got to take the consequences.
I know that in my heart. I also know that he's just trying to protect his brother, you know.
I know. But a bottle, they can kill you. It's a case of it's you or him. If he come at you with his bare hands, that'd be different. And that wouldn't have been fair.
Well, technically, your bare hands can kill somebody too. They can be deadly weapons too. I mean, what if you knew karate, say?
You said he was a lollipop man.
He was a lollipop man.
What's a lollipop man doing on fucking karate?
I'm just saying.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest. Golden grand piano, my beauty focused EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of a land I've achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all.
So, Han, welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damon.
And this is Douglas!
Are you okay over there, Damon? Did Douglas just do something to you? It sounded like something just happened.
Sounds like Douglas is having a shit. I was about to make a similar joke. Well done.
But he seems fine.
Poop jokes for the win.
Yeah. I mean, it's his house.
I'll just leave it there in the corner.
If a man can't shit on himself in his own house, where can he
but
shit?
But it's easier nostrils, so like...
But it's not my house. I have two options. Leave or continue this podcast. I've chosen to continue this podcast. I will sacrifice.
And what an honorable sacrifice it is.
It really is.
So...
It's sad that Andrew isn't sharing in this moment. I could take a picture and send it in the group. Should we do that? I think we should do that.
No. Absolutely not.
So this week, right?
Yes.
I love Andrew's inability to process what just happened a while ago.
Not happening. Not processing. I'm moving right along.
I can't. With these idiots anymore.
This week we've come together to do that thing that we do once every three times a year at this point, in which Disney says there are Marvel movies to watch and we say, oh yes. Thank you.
Please, sir, can I have one?
This time out, we come to a post-Endgame cinematic world in which John Watts, the director of Spider-Man Homecoming, gives us...
Oh, we're going straight to Spider-Man. Gives us, okay, cool.
The sequel to said Spider-Man, in which he decides to have a European vacation in the film Spider-Man Far
and
From
where
Home.
I go, I see his face. I just really miss him.
Yeah, I miss him too. I don't think Tony would have done what he did if he didn't know that you were going to be here after he was gone.
You gonna be the next Iron Man now?
Well, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy doing your jobs.
What?
I'm kidding. Look, keep up the good work. Because I am going on vacation.
Heads up.
Nick Fury's calling you.
I don't really want to talk to Nick Fury.
So we come back into Spider-Man Far From Home. The end game has happened. And Tony Stark...
The blip, sir. Sir, they keep referring to it as the blip, which is...
Well, yeah, that's what they call it in this movie. But I'm just talking about Endgame has happened. Yeah. The film Endgame. Tony Stark is gone.
Yes. Yeah.
And everyone comes back in what they have dubbed the blip. Which, what a good joke, that scene.
The blip beard is... Yes.
And now that Spider-Man and his friends are back... They decided to go to Europe.
Spider friends.
where Mysterio appears and there are elementals attacking people for no random reason other than, you know, we need bad guys in movies, in these movies, for people to fight. So mm-hmm. Spider-Man has to juggle being Spider-Man and wanting to just have a cool vacation. Which school goes to Europe on a vacation? That's weird. But anyways.
Is that weird?
Very good sure one. I'm pretty
sure that all schools did that in the 80s. That's what I saw in movies.
Right. In every movie I saw. Right? That's where
There's Eurotrip. Mm-hmm. There's the movie, even though that wasn't an 80s movie. Mm-hmm. There's the movie. Did you ever watch a movie with the... It was from the 80s, I believe, or max early 90s, where... Of course, I went on a Eurotrip. Mm-hmm. I think it was to France, or at least France was involved in mm-hmm. the Eurotrip. And the student became an accidental spy, and he ended up getting glasses that were X-ray glasses.
Yeah, dude. Oh. And there was the... I remember the Ferrari. I remember the mm-hmm. girl. I have mm-hmm. no idea what the name of that movie
is. And it's a bad name too. It's like some sort of pun, yeah. right? It's.
I remember watching that so many times. It was on TV.
That movie is so bad.
Forever. I need to find that movie.
The name of that movie is 1991's film directed by William Dare, If Looks Could Kill.
If Looks Could Kill. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. It was a shitty pun on the James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love that movie. I need to go watch that movie.
So, I mean, I think we just showed strong evidence that all schools go on Eurotrips.
Right. Anyways, all schools go on Eurotrips. Douglas, tell me about Spider-Man.
Yeah. I was surprised by this movie, right? I will go on the record, and obviously it is a Marvel movie. It is made by the Marvel people. I like Marvel movies. This movie is fine.
It said right? Sony on the front of it.
I know, but this is not officially a Marvel movie.
But it said Sony.
I know.
But I saw it.
Yeah.
They made the experience.
Yeah. So Sony did bad things. And in order to dig their way out of it, had to sign a deal with the devil, namely Stan Lee. To give him control over their soul. So, yeah, this is a Marvel movie.
Yes, it is. I think they've given up on that front.
I know, right? The only guys who are still holding out is like... actually, is anybody holding out anymore? Because no, I suppose Fox. You could call Fox. Because,
they own everybody.
But they own them now. So those are going to become Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There is one holdout, and it's Universal holding on to Hulk.
I feel like there is. I mean, if not making a Marvel movie, not making a movie accounts for being not a Marvel movie, then mm-hmm. all right, cool.
I mean, there was the Planet Hulk movie called Thor 3 Ragnarok.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They have to resort to those tactics just to use Hulk. They can never,
by resort, they can never
make a Hulk movie anymore.
Based on the Hulk in Endgame, I don't want a Hulk movie. Can't keep that shit.
Maybe he'll lick his arm with magic saliva and it will get better.
Or maybe Taika will put the Hulk back in a movie and make him awesome again. Aha. I want a red cap that says make Hulk great again. That's what I want.
No, I think that cap should at least be green. The letters can be red.
All right, fair enough.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. So... back to what we were really talking about. Spider-Man. As I said, so this is a Marvel movie. I like Marvel movies. I do like this movie. So it's a decent movie. It continues with the same tone. It's very much a comedy, as was the first movie. And that's always fun. I almost called him Andrew Garfield. I like Tom Holland. as Spider-Man, and I like all of the people that they put around him. It's great. But I have a bone to pick with, I think it might be the internet.
Yes.
I read multiple accounts of this film, and they all came to a strong consensus. It wasn't even like, you know, reviews were mixed. Some people thought this and other people didn't. Everybody is putting this down as like one of the best movies ever. At least one of the best Marvel movies ever. And it's almost like it fixed everything. And, you know, if you hated Endgame, you love this. And it's the best thing ever. They do everything right. And all right, listen.
Awesome.
I watched this movie. This movie is fine. This movie is serviceable. It has its moments. It's funny. I laughed. That's about as much as I can say about this movie. I'm disappointed in how they raised my bar, because I'm sure that I would have enjoyed this movie a little bit more if I had gone in thinking, oh, it's going to be a Spider-Man movie. Similarly, so I have watched the first Spider-Man a few times. I adored it the first time. I don't know if I would have gone as far as what these people are saying about this one, but I'd have probably come pretty close. I remember being really into and obsessed about this movie. I've watched it since then, and I've kind of tempered those feelings, because I realize as I watch it more, it's kind of just a fun comedy. It's nothing really special. And that's exactly what this movie is as well. You know, my guy, the guy in the chair,
mm-hmm.
he's good as always.
Yes.
I do like Zendaya more in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's
given more to do.
Yeah, she is given more to do in this movie. By the way, speaking of which, what is she? Is she like some sort of singer? I feel like she's supposed to be something else that happened into acting, right? Right.
I know she's in some other show that I also don't watch.
Yeah, she's in an HBO show that's happening right now, which I'm not going to watch. It looks...
Yeah, it's about depression and taking drugs, and that's a hard pass.
No. I like funny
Zendaya.
She
was a model.
I mean,
singer.
She's definitely. Yes, oh, is that what it is? Model?
Ah.
Muggle.
Ah, hence the single name.
Muggle.
Shamuggle.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Okay.
Here are the police
outside. So, yeah. This movie is fun.
I have a quick question for you, Douglas.
So I was actually confused.
Right. Kind of diving into hating on people loving this movie or whatever. Out of curiosity, because we've gone through, I feel like, phases throughout this podcast. Because Marvel movies started like 08. This podcast started
around
the year after.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, really? Did we not get a chance to talk about Iron Man 1?
Oh, no. We got a chance to talk about it. And have been many times throughout the year.
That's my next movie. Hard pass.
My question to you, Douglas.
Whatever veto power I have, I'm vetoing.
Yeah, you still hold a veto.
I do.
How hard do you feel your investment in the Marvel movies in general, outside of you just kind of want to see something fun?
Even if I know I'm not going to like something, for example, Thor, I'd still watch it, right? So the fact that I know it was Taika, but the fact that you guys got me to watch Thor 3 without really complaining is testament to how much I will forgive to in the interest of watching all of them, right? The fact that I have watched Ant-Man multiple times, the fact that I've watched Thor multiple times, Thor and Thor 2, I've watched those movies twice.
I only saw Thor 2 the once. And that is good enough for me.
So I clearly have some level of investment. You're right in the sense that a lot of it has to do with simply recognizing, especially now with the way and the quality that they're putting into the movies now, the fact that they know that what they're doing is just making fun movies for children and people like me who are man-childs. Man-children?
Mm-hmm.
Man-childerinos?
Man-god.
Anyway,
that's for all the Thor fans out there.
Good, because I don't know what just
happened. I just had a stroke.
But, yeah, there's... there is some level of investment. There's also some level of expectation, but that expectation is more, is closer to, I guess, somewhere between an Airborne and Mission Impossible type of expectation rather than this will be a great movie kind of expectation, right? And yeah, so, you know, I do like the Marvel movies. But back to this specific Marvel movie, when I was watching it, I was a bit confused because Jake Gyllenhaal came in. He is Mysterio. Mm-hmm. And for the first half of the movie, the whole time, I kept going back in my memory because I was saying, I don't know why. Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I thought he was a bad guy. And turns out, yeah, he's a bad guy. But they try hard to make him look like a good guy at first. And I do quite like Mysterio. I kind of like this whole movie. But finally, I'm not really going to talk too much about this movie because there's not much to talk about. What I do need to talk about is Carib.
Our weekly Carib.
Let's go. Our weekly Carib report.
But it's more bi-weekly at this point, but still.
True. I hate Carib so much.
What? What?
So, I started off with a positive experience in that I walked into the theater and there were maybe 10 to 20 people in there.
I'm so envious of you.
I was so happy.
You son of a bitch.
Some of them were children, but they weren't boisterous children.
Douglas, there's people standing on top of people.
Sunday at 5 o'clock, Damien. In Sunday at 5.
Saturday at 5 was the dumbest shit I've ever done.
I walk in there and the TV turns on because, I mean, let's be real. The screen isn't even actually as good as a TV. It's not as good as my TV. So, whatever the hell that is. The screen, first of all, the trailers that we watched were in Inimascope, as per usual. But then the movie starts and I'm wearing the 3D glasses because it's in 3D and I can't get the 2D. And you look at the screen and you pray for lots of colors, lots of dark or, I guess, medium colors. You pray that you don't get light blues, that you don't get whites, because the screen, it's like it's wrinkled. It's one of two things. Either they cleaned it one day with a dirty rag and left it there, and so you just see there are all the streaks all over the screen, or the screen itself is just not flat anymore. It's, you know, bunched up all over the place. And it is so annoying because I know after watching this movie that it would look 1,000 times better on my 4K TV. 1,000 times better.
I'm having deja vu.
And I feel this way after every movie that I watch down there. Every single one. It pains me. This is why, unless it is a Marvel movie or John Wick or something like that,
or
I just don't go to the movies anymore.
Or James Bond.
James, yes. Yes, I'll go watch James.
especially Fast and Furious, James.
Hobbs and Shaw, 1,000,000%.
Douglas,
we're going to watch Hobbs and Shaw.
Alright, cool. It's on the list.
I'm not fucking around. I don't want any skin teeth. But we're still talking about Spider-Man Far From Home. For my review, I will say Spider Tingle, tremendous.
Alright, fair enough. Peter Tingle.
Sorry, right. Peter Tingle.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Happy and Aunt May.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Jack and Gyllenhaal is better than everybody at everything. He's too good to be in movies.
I have to tell you, that moment, the reveal, oh, so good.
He's
just him, like, turning off and becoming, like, What? Like a guy drinking in a bar and celebrating his daughter's birthday or something. That transition was amazing.
You know, like, Ben Kingsley played, in part three, he played basically this character.
Yes, he did.
And to watch Jake Gyllenhaal be better than Ben Kingsley in a role.
That's strong. Was he better than Ben Kingsley? Ben Kingsley, like, so the thing about Gyllenhaal, this role, you know, is, yes, he was a good guy and a bad guy, right? Yes, he was kind of a driven soldier and then a bit of a, I don't know what the best word is, but like a crazy bad guy, kind of like psychotic sort of person, whatever. But the extremes, he did not go as extreme on both ends as Kingsley did. Kingsley's bad was fucking...
Right. Super bad.
Super bad. And Ben Kingsley's not good, but like
his reveal to be a puppet
was just amazing. Right. Yeah. The, you know, the drunk, drug-addled actor who just was up for a party. Like, that was great.
But here's the thing. That movie wasn't about Ben Kingsley.
It was not. But that movie was still amazing.
And so he wasn't given the amount of time that Jake Gyllenhaal was given to show what, like, he didn't feel like it just felt like a twist at the end for twist sake. Like, I didn't enjoy Ben Kingsley's character in that movie. Jake Gyllenhaal is tremendous.
Can we just all admit that Iron Man 3 was trash?
No.
Trash is hard because Iron Man 2 exists.
No, Iron Man 2 is trash, but
Iron Man 3 is better than Iron Man 2. Listen, therefore, it cannot be.
It's like trash. Petering on trash.
I challenge both of you.
Yes.
To watch Iron Man 2 and not fucking love the shit out of that movie.
I have.
Have you watched it recently? Because remember, you know, you and I agreed when we first watched it. I hated that movie. Mm-hmm. Damien, I've watched it recently. And it is trash.
Right.
But it's trash of the highest order.
It is because now you're paying attention to Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke is in it.
Mickey Rourke's ridiculous performance.
Yes.
And Sam Rockwell melting into... That is what you're... Like, you don't care about the movie or the story's telling. You know what it is. And so are just enjoying... Mm. Just how?
Now that I know that it's trash, I just roll with it.
That's a good point. Should watch that movie again.
You need to watch that movie again. Trust me.
Also, it was in winter. It's a shitty Christmas movie. Oh, god damn that movie.
No, that's three. Three was a Christmas movie.
Oh, two. Right. Two is just War Machine and Whiplash.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because three was Shane Black. And as we all know, all of Shane Black movies are Christmas movies.
Fair enough. Yeah. Should give two a rewatch.
Yeah, man.
Now that I know it is.
Well, now that you know it's trash, trust me.
But
you view it with different goggles.
Does that help Thor 1?
Absolutely not.
I want to say about Thor 2 because that's not a real movie.
Oh, boy. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. The only thing I will give Thor 1 is that Chris Hemsworth knows what Thor is.
Yeah,
and you can kind of see it. But the rest of the movie don't know what's going on. They're not on the same path. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until Taika said, "Hey, Chris, I see you. I got you. Let's turn this up," that it then became good.
Much like Douglas, however, the internet said, like, there's articles, is this the best Spider-Man? Hey, guys, no. It is disrespectful for 6 months out of Spider-Verse.
In the section when we talk about what we've watched this week, I can actually talk about the best Spider-Man because I watched it again because that movie is so good. Into the Spider-Verse is... Oh. Anyway, Damien, continue.
It's impossible that movie is that good. This movie's fine. It's a good movie. It continues. It is now season 4, episode 1 of the Marvelverse. I get it. And we've made so many of these movies now that for you to make a bad one, it feels like you'd have to go out of your way. Like, The litmus test for making bad superhero movies recently is The Water Boy. Aquaman.
King Arthur.
King Arthur. Aquaman was good. And by good, I mean not trash. And I went, can they make bad versions of these movies anymore? And Brightburn was the last one where I just like, Brightburn might be the one where they took it a step too far. Watch Brightburn and it might be my favorite movie of the year. So now I don't think, like, the template is so cemented. It truly feels, and I brought up this analogy several times, it feels like the latter part of the 70s where you could make any cowboy movie because everyone knows what that movie is. No one's making bad cowboy flicks because you'd have to go out of your way to achieve that. And that's where we are right now with these movies. I think they'll be able to make these movies forever and ever and ever. Unless somebody's just like, oh no, I think, unless we give Ang Lee another superhero movie and he tries to bring art to superhero movies, I can't see them making bad ones. And like, we've watched Flash for 90 trillion seasons and it's been progressively badder and badder and badder.
Yep.
We're now stuck in these movies because it's telling one story. And as long as they pretend to tell the same story, we'll watch all these movies for, like, we're just going to keep watching these movies.
Yeah, we're until, trapped. Yeah, it's true because, I mean, I don't think I've stopped watching any of these movies, any of these shows that we're talking about, because as you say, you feel obligated.
There's
obliged.
A pull. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until they go, I'm not making this anymore.
I mean, it has to really break you, right? So I think last year that Black Lightning show broke me. I was like, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
Are
you still with The Walking Dead?
No, that stopped a long time ago. But the thing about The Walking Dead is I stopped it, not necessarily in a good place, but before it broke. So every once in a while, I think to myself, maybe I should try and catch up, you know?
You're right.
So there is that. But I feel like there's another show that just straight up broke me. And I had Supergirl. To stop watching it. No, funnily enough, it's not Supergirl.
Still going with Supergirl?
Still going with Supergirl.
Boy.
Arrow? I straight up hate that
Legends
show.
Of Tomorrow.
No, I continued with all of those. Even though Arrow, I think, is fully done, so it broke itself.
Fair.
I did not survive. Didn't make it to the end.
I watched till the end.
Out of curiosity, Damian, actually, talking about superhero movies and keeping it to this year, because I feel like the movie that holds the closest kinship to what Spider-Man is that's already come out was Shazam, which we were big fans of.
Yeah.
Right? So my question to you is this. Which one is on top this year? Is it Shazam or Spider-Man?
I'd take Shazam because Shazam was more surprising. I know what a Spider-Man movie is. Shazam could have been all kinds of bad. And it didn't do, like, it did a more than serviceable job. And I really, really enjoyed the ending of Shazam.
Yeah, and they're both the same type of movie in that they're really at the core comedies.
Right.
And I feel like, and I think also that it might be because, like you, I didn't expect this much, but I actually remember Shazam being funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen.
But to be fair, I have not watched Shazam since, right? I have watched that Spider-Man movie a couple times since.
If you tell Mark Strong to do certain things.
Mark Strong was in that movie.
You.
Oh, he's so good.
He's tremendous.
He is. Like, people need to just use him as shitty villains all the time.
All the time.
I know he's a great actor and he can do, you know, serious things, but no.
So let's do one for one, right? Yes. Mark Strong versus Jake Gyllenhaal.
Or Jack. That's not a competition.
No, for these characters. Not for their oeuvre. Not for their entire, their entire catalog. For these specific characters in these movies. Who does the bad guy better for these movies?
Mark Strong. for me.
Versus
Mysterio.
Versus Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mark Strong for, of course, Mark Strong all the way.
Mark Strong.
Do you take Aunt May and Happy, or do you take the best group home parents?
It might be Aunt May and Happy.
Yeah, but that's cheating. But
yeah,
because there's too much. There's like 10 years of backstory with them.
Mm-hmm.
Why this is funny? Well, with the parents, like the group home parents are just great. Strong from the beginning. Yeah. But I only have one movie with them, and. Also, there's a better Spider-Man movie. There's no better Shazam.
Yes, sir. Is this called Chuck? No, it's not better.
I'm sorry, what's happening here? I think I misheard.
That guy needs to get another shitty television show.
Yeah, it's called Shazam.
Television show.
Yeah, it's called...
They're all television shows at this point.
Takes too long to get the...
Yeah, but
it takes too long to get the second episode.
I mean, shouldn't you be used to start watching British TV?
Bang! Okay.
All right.
Shots at BBC. Yeah. Okay. Fair point. Paul Dark is coming back for its fifth season. So that's five
Paul
seasons.
Paul Dark is still around?
18 years. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. My mother loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And so by extension, I love it. Didn't get much of a choice. The movie's fine. And if you listen, we don't need to recommend any of these movies ever again. You've seen all of them.
Yeah.
Anyone that is going to the Spider-Man movie that hasn't seen all of them is A, child, or B, lying. It's just that simple.
Yep.
No one stumbles into these movies anymore.
Speaking of which, has Andrew actually said whether he likes this movie or not?
No, it's his turn.
Yeah, I think it is.
Andrew Usually Robinson. By this point, I feel like we've said everything, and I just kind of feel like, I like this movie. I like this movie a lot. Everything I want to say about this movie are spoilers.
Yes.
Well, we can get into spoiler territory, but one thing before we do is I want you, Andrew, to tell me if you like this movie, because you say you like it a lot, enough to agree with the internet.
I don't like to agree with the internet because they're assholes.
Correct.
But no.
No, but seriously, is this like, do you share the, let's take the whole, because Damian has latched onto this is the best Spider-Man, and that's not even what I latched onto. I just latched onto the vehemence, the raw power of how much people love this movie. Yeah. And I'm just not there, but are you there?
I do love this movie a good amount. I think this is, I tend to do this now with all of the Marvel movies. I'm in this habit of ranking them in my head. This is just below premier tier Marvel movie for me. It's not quite top five. Right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Right? I can see
but
that.
It's yeah. And also I have to make a note, I rewatched Homecoming before going to this movie, and I remember being very lukewarm on Homecoming. I love that movie so much more right now.
Oh wow. And I'm the opposite, right? I loved it the first time I watched it. No, I enjoy it, but I know what it is now, you know? It's like I've seen through
and
the
I
veil.
Mean, Michael Keaton is just amazing in that movie.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Yep.
I think they did great, just even with just basic things, like just plain out design, like having him in that jacket for all of that movie, being the Vulture. Oh, I loved all of it. Yeah. I love that they had both of the Shockers wearing that yellow jacket that the Shocker wears. And it's just this small detail that they just put in that they never point to. They're never like, oh, you're wearing the same. It's just something they do. And I feel that same care with everything in this movie. Right? With Far From Home. You guys talk about the grin, the reveal grin. Oh, it's so good. There are a lot of things that change as the movie hits into its back half as to how I really view it. but all of the Nick Fury is great in this movie.
Yeah, Nick Fury is
all of the Happy and Aunt May is great in this movie. I love how much you can see that the Spider-Man is just kind of there, and he doesn't know what to do. Like, for the people who are going crazy about it in the context of the MCU, most of those people, I feel, number one, are people who just straight up hated a lot of Endgame stuff, right? And we've already talked about Endgame, and you guys know how I feel about that movie. I adored everything that went in.
Is Endgame the last Avengers one or movie? The first one?
Oh, okay.
The one at the end.
Yeah, it's sad. I just think of both of those movies.
You just say Avengers 4.
So, exactly. But yeah, I agree with Andrew. Right. I love that movie too.
And by the time I'm finished, it might be
So for the people who just didn't like that movie, I can understand them coming to this movie, which just gives them so much happiness and being like, all right, I'm back, right? But I never fell off. Yeah. So do I agree with them?
And especially because of, outside of a few dumb jokes, they don't really care about the fact that 5 years have passed and this crazy thing. It really just becomes a Eurotrip movie.
Yep.
With glasses that maybe will eventually allow Peter to see through. You know,
the glasses. Oh my God. I love that so fucking much. Edith. Yeah. Oh. Even in death, I'm the hero. Oh. Yeah. That's so fucking good.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
There's a lot of dumb jokes.
You guys mentioned Zendaya. I agree. It's partially because she didn't really have anything to do in the first movie, but her character is really good in this one. I'm upset at both of you, because neither of you have mentioned the best MVP addition to this movie, that being Mr. J.B. Smoove.
Oh yes, so that's something that I was disappointed in. In terms of his contribution to this movie, because he's not in it enough. He is... I love J.B. Smoove so much.
Hey, guys. We need to have a serious conversation about you guys' love for J.B. Smoove.
Yes.
We're all fans of the TV show, which is the reason you like J.B. Smoove.
Yes.
I'm sick of your shit.
You know what I have to say to you, Damien? Yeah. You know what I have to say to you? That's some bullshit right there, Larry.
Yeah,
Damien.
Yeah. Guess what I am? Guess what I'm tired of? Your shtick.
I love it. I know that I haven't watched any of his stand-up, and I'm sure if you do that, you won't like him as much anymore. Listen. Whatever. Obviously, I love the character that I've seen in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right. J.B. Smoove's stand-up has always been bad because he's bad at
it. Yeah, I'm sure he's bad at it.
But
he strikes me as a regular black comedian.
The character he plays in Curb, for the first couple seasons, you're just like, because Larry David is such a complete monster, the stereotype he's playing is not a stereotype at all. And so it works perfectly together. But that is because Larry David's character. But as it continues to creep into more every time I see him, he's there. But do Damien, you know who is not there?
Yeah.
Larry David.
I understand this. But think about it this way. And maybe you don't, because I don't know how you felt about him before. Mm-hmm. Do you have positive or negative feelings for Tracy Morgan?
I have positive feelings. I had positive feelings at first. Then it got real dark. Then 30 Rock brought it way up.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he's done since then has been trash.
Okay. So I guess you and I are in similar boats, except I never started off positive. Okay. I always hated him.
Right.
I did not like him. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't give him enough of a chance, but I just
around
didn't...
Def Comedy Jam, he had like a half hour beat that was real strong.
Yeah.
And then everything I heard from him after that was real trash.
I'd see a few things, like a few stand-ups or whatever, and then I'd see him in SNL, and I was like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
And then Tracy Jordan came around.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome.
Tracy Jordan is perfect.
Now, Damien... The difference between you and me is, ever since then, I've seen things that he's been in. He's kind of trash. Mm-hmm. I still like him.
Yeah.
Right? Just even like the way he talks now. Mm-hmm. So the way he talks was one of the reasons I used to fucking hate him. But because 30 Rock used that so well, I now associate that with positive feelings. So when I will watch things like the OG, the last OG, mm-hmm. and I've watched maybe one or two episodes, and I've decided it's not that good, so I won't continue. But even when I see like a trailer for that, mm-hmm. and he's talking to Sed the Entertainer and saying, "Oh, I'm a chef," and Cedric is like, "No, I've seen what you get paid. You're a cook." That becomes funny. Why? Because I view that as Tracy Jordan. It's the same thing with JB Smoove. I've never really seen him outside of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I've only seen him as himself, who is that person.
Right.
And therefore, I can then frame it in the Curb Your Enthusiasm, glasses, which is great.
Tina Fey is one of my favorite people on the planet Earth.
Yeah. She knows how to do funny.
When she's in garbage. Still get upset.
Are you sure about that?
Because she's in
garbage. What about Whiskey Tango Foxtrot?
Again.
What?
When she's not.
Like, I mean, when that, that movie's not good, but I still kind of like that
movie. Do you know who is good in that? Margot Robbie is good in that.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. You know who is not good in that? Tina Fey.
Tina Fey is not good in a lot of things. Yes,
exactly. Do you know where I want to see Tina Fey? In 30 Rock.
Yeah.
And then there are some other shows.
A few also
where she's playing Tina Fey from 30 Rock in the other shows.
To be fair, most movies with her friend. What's the other one?
The other one.
Amy. No, not Amy. The blonde one from SNL as well.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking. You say Amy. I know that's what's in my head.
I don't think it's Amy because I'm thinking Amy Sedaris, but somebody else.
It's not Amy Schumer.
Obviously.
I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, we know who we're talking about. And for people who are listening, it's the blonde one.
Right.
I'm an asshole. I just don't remember her name. Oh my God. And I see her in front. Parks and Rec. What the fuck is her name?
I know. Listen, you calling out things not helping me to get her name. Andrew will edit this in.
Yeah. Just put in the robot voice, her name here, and let's move on with life.
Like me after the fact just saying name, and then it goes in. Where were we?
So yeah, you were talking about how much you loved it.
And I was telling you that I'm sick of JB Smoove.
Yeah, you're sick of JB Smoove.
And that is why we
So Andrew, talk to us about JB Smoove and then we can give some spoiler warnings. Yes.
His four scenes where he acts exactly like JB
Smoove. Guess what? I was looking forward to him acting like JB Smoove. I got him acting like JB Smoove.
Sick of his shit.
And I was satisfied. Right? I'm sick of his shit. Especially especially with him next to Martin Starr, who I still feel never gets enough roles in movies because I love him. Like,
I'm also sick of his shit.
You, sir, are not worthy of happy things, right?
So I like Martin Starr, but I do appreciate that he plays a particular role.
Yes, yes. But when that role is not outstanding, listen. Have you watched It's the other show that Tina Fey did after Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Started and didn't continue.
Andrew, have you finished that? All right. So there's a guy on there called
Titus. I know
Titus
him. Everybody, I know him. Everybody knows he's a standout guy everybody from that knows show. Him.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. No. If his character started showing up in everything as that character, how long would it take you to go, I'm sick and tired of this shit?
There's a reason why I didn't start continue watching that show.
Oh, no, you guys didn't get to the good parts. I will admit the first couple of episodes aren't the peak.
Yeah, that's probably where I stopped.
By the time John Hamm appears.
Yeah, I didn't see John Hamm.
Exactly. Tina Fey ramps that show up real quick towards the end. And then in season two, it is magic.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the first season of 30 Rock, you didn't really see just how weird that show was going to be. And by the second season, there was no more There's no more mistaking. They took that show exactly where it needed to go very quickly. So you guys should finish up Unbreakable.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, the whole world sees something and... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. I know the internet can be wrong a lot, mm-hmm. but it's hard for the whole world to be like, yo, guys, this show's great. And for there to be nothing to justify that. There's at least something.
I have one such TV show to talk about when we're finished.
But anyway, are we at spoiler warnings, Andrew?
Call it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So Tony Stark is
dead. I want to hear what Andrew, because clearly Andrew has something specific he wants to talk about.
Thanos lost. He's talking post.
Well, not just that.
Okay. I've only watched the first one.
You didn't watch the last one. You ran away.
End. Yeah.
Do you know what happens, Douglas? have you been informed?
So, okay. The only one I saw was the one where Jake Gyllenhaal says who Peter Parker is, who Spider-Man is. Mm-hmm. I did not watch whatever was at the actual end of this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's about. I saw an article that said that one of them, and I assumed it was the one that I watched because it was related to the movie, but maybe it's the one you're talking about, fixed some sort of plot hole that was inherent in the movie.
I don't care about plot holes. Right. Okay. These movies to me are not movies in which I need to be like, this logic didn't make logic. And
yeah, exactly. I didn't even... So, because I watch this movie and all these movies as cartoons, as I was watching it, I was like, there is no plot hole. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sure there's all sorts of plot holes because it's a fucking cartoon, but... If you accept it's a cartoon, you need to stop worrying about which magic you believe is believable, you know?
Douglas, I take my rap style real serious. Like Craig Mack.
But Andrew, I will not be upset if you tell me what the last...
I just wanted to know which one you saw. That's why they put that end up in me. I just wanted to know. Yeah. So anyways, there were the two post-credit sequences. There was the one in which they show Mysterio shows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, and they make mm-hmm. him look to be the villain, which also has the wonderful added kudos of having J.K. Simmons come back as J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes! That was my favorite part of this movie. And also, one thing I did want to say about this part was, did anyone think, was I the only person that kind of got that feeling that it was reminiscent to Iron Man in the sense that at the end of the movie, it's like a mic drop, like, I am Iron mm-hmm. Man as opposed to I am Spider-Man, but obviously it was a negative more than a positive.
I mean, it has that echo, but for me mentally, and maybe it's because I know Damien can turn off his headphones here, I read a few comic books. it reminded me a lot more of like Daredevil stories, right? You know, both kind of work. The other post-credit scene is where you find out that Maria Hill and Nick Fury in this movie were actually the Skrulls, Talos and his wife from Captain Marvel, pretending to be Nick Fury and Maria Hill for this movie.
Oh, that's funny. Right. I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. By Maria Hill, do you mean Kobe Smulders? Okay, cool. That's such a fucking... I mean, I feel bad. I don't know if it's a made-up name or if it's her actual name, but it's so
good.
Weird.
Such a good
it's
name.
It's so weird. Please, Kobe, give me a call and let me know if it's a joke. It has to be a joke, right?
It also showed you that the real Nick Fury was up on some spaceship far, far away, right? He was probably with the Skrulls just hanging out in space. Right?
Oh, okay. Oh, so is it the good Skrulls or the bad Skrulls?
It's our friend from Captain Marvel.
Oh, it's Mendelsohn?
And his wife. I assume wife from how they were relating in Captain Marvel.
You sure about that? I mean, listen, when you're in a different area code and... I'm pretty sure Earth is a different area code than space.
When in Skrulls, you do what Skrulls.
Yeah, so that I think is the one that people are talking about plot holes because people are fighting over the fact they're like, how is it Nick Fury doesn't see this shit's crazy? But who cares about those people?
Oh, maybe that's yeah, what they were talking about. That's what
they were kind of going to.
That's so stupid.
But whatever. On. Right, we're not going down that. I had seen.
yeah, we're not going down
that. So I had seen Captain Marvel maybe 2 days before this.
Okay.
And remembered the part where they're just like, oh, everyone only calls me Fury. And in the very beginning of this movie, Smulders looks at Fury and calls him Nick or something like that. And I went, that doesn't make any sense. And then, because I left Caribbean immediately, I saw none of the post-credit scenes. I went home, typed in post-credit scenes, Spider-Man, and someone, and realized two things.
Mm-hmm.
It is a much quicker and easier time for me to just stay at Carib and watch the post-credit scenes, because watching a nerd talk about the post-credit scenes for longer than it would have taken me to sit there is a stupid idea. Yeah. And I will not have it happen to me again.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, all of this stuff. So, post-credit scene on their own. Like, I just like them because, number one, and I feel Damon has been the spear in this argument, always telling us that post-credit scene are a waste of time, right? They're just kind of shitty. Some of them are so bad that they're just literally ads for the next movie. They don't even, like, play with anything to make a fun scene. Mm-hmm. This one felt to me like they actually did something which was good, right? Yes, it's annoying that you have to wait through the whole credits to see, like, the thing, but it's also... And especially for this movie, right? I like the segmenting from the film because it gives you something else, but at the same time, you know it's separate from the story of the movie. It really doesn't. Like, Damien, you could have left the movie and never talked about these at all, and it would have been okay for you.
Mm-hmm.
You would have left the movie and you'd be like, I have this fan theory that Nick Fury wasn't Nick Fury, and you'd be fine.
I accept that it is part of the cadence of these movies. My issue is Carib.
I get you, Damien.
No, you don't, because you don't live here, Andrew. I don't want you to patronize me and go, Damien, I understand. I've been to Carib one time in the last decade. I don't want to hear it.
Do you want me to come and watch Hobbs and Shaw with you?
Damien, do you know that the shittiest movie theater that Andrew has close to him is one that bears the name of one of the biggest commercial banks in Jamaica?
The Scotiabank movie theater?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Just goes to show how much they put into that.
Yep.
That one has an IMAX.
Of course it does. It says Scotiabank on the front of it. So, Andrew, you don't need to patronize me. You do not understand. Douglas just told you that the screen is physically dirty. You don't know what that is. And for years, I've been bitching about the quality of both the audio and video. And for years, you guys were just like, Damon, you're just being a bitch. To hear Douglas now with a proper TV is just like, this shit sucks. So I don't want to hear it from you, Andrew. Carib sucks. It's real bad.
Sucks.
So I don't want to spend more time than I have to in there.
But I feel also like, so we kind of already gave away that even though the movie's been advertising it, Mysterio is the bad guy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I said that before we went to spoilers, and I hope nobody felt like it was spoilers. But again, if you've ever read or even know anything about Spider-Man, he's typically a bad guy.
But right? They were selling it in all the marketing that he's a good guy. So, you know, it was like a... It's actually surprising to me that they didn't give that away. But hey, you know. I loved all of the Mysterio stuff, right? The whole back half of that movie in which Mysterio is just a punk-ass bitch.
Right? Punk-ass bitch?
Just like sitting behind cameras and CGI graphics doing his stuff. So much so that when you actually get to the Mysterio fight scenes... which is basically Spider-Man versus drones, but it's just so super stylized. I really enjoyed them, right? From him being hit by the train to seeing, to watching Jake Gyllenhaal scream at a lady to have his cape pressed in time for the reveal.
Yeah, that was right. Dumb. Yes.
You talk about the scene where he like has the revealing grin. My favorite part about that scene isn't just the grin, but there's also him thanking everybody. And the moment he says he thanks the guy who wrote the story and goes into detail to be like, that is the most ridiculous shit I'd have ever heard, but somehow people believe that, so we went with it and it worked.
Yep.
Right? And I mean, there are people, and me bringing up this is really just upsetting Damien at this point, who and I felt this as well watching this, feeling they took Mysterio this way because it made a fun meta joke of Marvel as a whole, right? Where Mysterio is the embodiment of all of the Marvel movies. He's the most ridiculous backstory of a character drenched in CGI and actually has nothing to do for the actor, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But somehow we believe him and we have fun with it, right? Right, and I adored that about this movie.
And I did enjoy, like, there are moments like when what's his face, Nick Fury, says something to Mysterio, and then Gyllenhaal closes the comms and talks to his story writer and says, I don't know what the fuck to say. Give me something believable. Yeah. Give me something that I can say strongly. And you see the guy like flipping through cue cards, I guess. You know. It's coming just up hilarious. With bullshit. Coming up with rubbish. Yeah.
Like, and I think those are all of the things that make me think this movie might be up there for the Marvel movies for me. Like, it's, I feel like on rewatches, I could come to you guys and be like, I think it might be touching the top five soon. But this movie, it has a lot more in it than just the average Marvel, I feel. Right?
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, to be fair, right? I went into the first one with no expectations and those got blown out of proportion. Loved it and then watched it a few times and it's kind of come down. This one is the opposite. People said to me, Douglas, this is going to be the greatest. And so now I probably undersold it to myself. And maybe on rewatches, as you said, it'll get better. But right now it's like, it's decent.
It's a good first episode for season 4.
Yep.
And we don't have any winter episodes though, so we have to wait till next year for the next episode. God damn it.
If you think that Star Wars
won't inevitably become superheroes, you don't know what Disney magic is.
You're saying the next Star Wars episode is a crossover episode? Oh my god.
Pretty sure might Wolverine as well is be. Going to yeah. be in there. They just got him back.
At least Deadpool.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to go with my spoilers. Also, guys, J.K. fucking Simmons came back as an Alex. J.K. What's fucking that? Simmons came back as Alex Jones.
Yo. J. Jonah Jameson.
I am
so happy for that. I really hope that in the third Spider-Man, there better be a third one. He is on point and there every step of the way. Oh, because you can imagine now there's going to be a world in which Spider-Man is, you know, a wanted criminal.
Douglas, there's a world where Sony gives Venom to Marvel.
Yeah, they need to have
Venom in the third Spider-Man movie.
They need to give him to Marvel. I don't know about him being in the Spider-Man movie or whatever, but...
I just want Tom Hardy.
Yeah, Tom Hardy needs to
be... By Venom, I mean Tom Hardy. Yeah. Let me be clear. He doesn't have to play Venom. I just want him to be in one of those movies.
Speaking of Tom Hardy, did you know... And I know that we all should know this because we've watched this and talked about it on the podcast. Did you know that Bronson was a Wind in Refn movie?
Yeah.
I didn't know that until just recently. I didn't. It makes a whole lot of sense. I'm pretty
sure that was our Wind in Refn point of reference for many years before Drive came out.
Right.
Is it?
Yeah. Maybe. It is why we were so... It is why at least I was so horny for Drive.
I still want to watch his show that's on Amazon. I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, I started it. Boy, Andrew. Oh boy, it's bad. Or it starts off very poorly. And you know how bad it is? So the funny thing is, this is actually why I know this now. Because I started watching it after maybe 2 minutes, I turned it off. Because and as I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what? This looks like a Wind in Refn movie that was made by somebody who doesn't have the sort of skill as Wind in Refn. Mm-hmm. And then I clicked search and found out, no, in fact, it's actually done by him. So I might try and go back and watch it again. But Andrew, like, after 2 minutes, I was done. It's...
So Douglas, is it Only God Forgives Wind in Refn? Or is it... Okay, so it's my Wind in Refn. All right, great.
You don't like Only God Forgives?
I do like Only God Forgives, but it's bad. Only God Forgives. It's like a mixture between Only God Forgives and Neon Demon.
Neon Demon is trash.
It is trash. Which, again, because probably I didn't like it, I decided it wasn't him. I then, while I was looking up, realized, oh, this is Wind in Refn again.
Mistakes were made.
Yep.
I'm your pusher.
Oh, I love those movies. You know, I still haven't watched the third one, though.
Why?
Because I'm an idiot.
So is there anything else we want to say on Spider-Man?
I guess not, other than let's make some more. And what's the next movie? What's the next episode?
Spider-Pictures. I don't think we know yet.
We don't know yet?
You mean as in us? Or the next Marvel episode?
The next Marvel episode, Andrew.
I think it's Black Panther. Apologies.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. It might be Black Panther for next year. Answers.
There's no trailers yet, so we don't know.
Oh, boy. And, I love how we've
spoken... And I'm not keeping track based on some spreadsheet that is on the internet. I refuse to do that.
I know, right? I love how we've spoken so long about Spider-Man that I think internally a decision has been made that we may not be talking about other things.
Fair enough.
Right, Andrew? Is that where we're going? I feel like that's where we're going.
We are going to talk about it.
We're not talking about Berlusconi. We're going to
talk about it. But hopefully we don't talk for 65 minutes on Berlusconi.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, Spider-Man Far From Home, Thump approved?
4 out of 5 stars.
I don't know about 4 out of 5. Thump approved.
3 out of 4 stars. Total 3 stars. Yeah, Thump approved.
Hey man, Thump approved.
Listen, it's... Are you watching the Marvel TV show? Yes. Yeah. Then
once it's not early Thor or early Ant-Man, it's probably Thump approved.
And how long has it been since they made anything even approaching that kind of garbage? A long time.
Probably Ant-Man.
And even though you're wrong, and I accept that, that's what, 4 years ago?
Exactly,
at this point?
It's a while back. More than 4 years.
Yeah, it's sad how long we've been watching these movies.
Actually, yeah, it's probably 5 years maybe.
Please, I'm too old to be talking about time.
Yeah.
Can't. Anyways, otherwise, we were hoping to find a good solid 10 minutes to discuss
Silvio Berlusconi.
Berlusconi,
which was the topic of discussion Andrew for Paolo Sorrentino's latest film, Loro, which translates to them. I know this only because they used the word that the subtitle was there.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you know two words in Italian.
actually read a little bit about the title because I was like, what is Loro? And so it explained that the them is all of these fancy politicians. Yes. And that's what they're talking
about. So Damian, tell me about the man who owned AC Milan for a short period.
Silvio Berlusconi is a cartoon villain that I was fascinated with for his entire run. I watched enough Italian football to have heard about his exploits, but didn't realize until later than I should have that he was also running a country. didn't understand that. He's a career criminal turned politician, and being a politician only amplified his criminalities. When Donald Trump sleeps at night, he dreams of being Silvio Berlusconi. But what I want to know, I already have a sense of what Douglas thinks about this movie. Andrew, just tell me quickly, what do you think about this movie?
Oh my God, it's such a pain. It's upsetting because I've come to realize that I fell deeply in love with Sorrentino with The Great Beauty, and I've not liked anything since then. I think he might be a one-off, but just kind of keeps getting...
Absolutely
keeps
not.
Keeps getting that pretty touch, so it keeps looking like a movie I want to watch. Right?
Right.
Did you guys watch the 2.5 hour version or the 2 separate episode version of this movie? Because there are 2 different versions.
Okay,
of the
movie. I watched... Yeah, I know. And that is... I'm hoping, right? I am right now hoping that I don't like this movie because I watched what would be the watered-down American version, right? Because I watched a 2.5 hour version. And it felt all over the place. It felt like things didn't connect right. And it felt like it was pretty for no reason. And things like... The Great Beauty Man playing 2 separate people at the same time was just ridiculous to me. Though at least that one piece will obviously hold true for both.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I watched the combined cut.
Okay, cool. Cause that's what like I was watching too. It was weird for me for the first like half an hour to see Santino from John Wick 2 being a pimp, and like me just watching this being confused, where I'm like, is he supposed to be Berlusconi, just not without the name, because he probably can't say his name is Berlusconi.
Thank you.
Right.
So for a long time, and I think it might be because I'm weird when it comes to foreign movies sometimes, and I just don't read quickly enough or whatever, but I was under the impression, and it wasn't because he was saying different names, but maybe because I just wasn't paying enough attention. I was under the impression that he was the young Silvio Berlusconi. Mm-hmm. And he was later in the movie, he'd either add makeup or they'd switch out actors and he'd become old Silvio Berlusconi. Only to realize, no, his whole point of being here is to meet and become friends with Silvio Berlusconi, who was played by The Great Beauty.
Yeah. And it was weird. And it was it was off-putting, and more so than usual. Like, we've seen a few of his films by now. Like, the amount of just staring at naked ladies, eventually for a while, I was
true.
Like, why can't I just watch porn instead? but...
You're yeah, not that Italian is that, enough. That is a little bit odd. We've got like the Game of Thrones event effect going on
like,
here.
I mean, I'm not below staring at naked ladies, but this movie,
Andrew
this
Robbins,
movie for a while, I was like, you know, I'd like a little story soon enough. but it was weird and upsetting. Like, I had to stop the movie the first time I watched it. I didn't actually see Berlusconi the first time I tried to watch this movie, which is why I left it so confused. And then eventually I tried again and I got to Berlusconi. And I don't know what it is, but Servio's portrayal of Berlusconi, like, it just felt weird to me. Like, it didn't really catch me. This movie, Damien, I was not in love with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was not for me. This movie feels like excessive in all the wrong ways. And just overly into itself. I am pleased that I did not watch a 4-hour version of this movie. I assume the other version is 4 hours, I think.
It's probably longer. I'm sure each act is 2.5 hours.
Also, at the same time, Damien, if you told me that the 4-hour version was better because everything made sense, I'd be fearful, but I'd try.
Yeah, I'm definitely... I have to tell you, Andrew, once I figure out where to find these things, because I don't know where to find them, I'm definitely going to try to watch the 20-hour version. Because unlike you, And I know I have not watched a lot of his movies. So far, everything of his I've watched, I've liked. Even the TV show that I didn't finish, I did like what I saw
I give you that. I actually did like what I did watch of The Young Pope. Have you seen The New Pope yet? I don't think that's out yet.
Nope.
The New Have Pope. I seen what?
That's the sequel to This Young Pope.
The sequel, okay. Oh, sorry. I meant The Young Pope when I said The New Pope. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was out already, but I knew it was happening. I have not seen it. But I wouldn't watch it until I watched The Young Pope.
Damian.
But that's... Is that still, yeah, it's still HBO?
HBO. I don't know if it's out yet. Okay. I don't think it is.
So, oh, okay. Oh, mister, I can watch things in the future.
The New Pope.
Oh, okay, yeah. I meant The Young Pope.
I was not flaunting anything.
Sure you weren't.
Wait, Damian, wait until September.
Yeah.
I've
seen John Wick 4 and 5.
Speaking of which... I cannot wait until whenever I see this movie. I recently found out that Bong Joon-ho did a new movie, and it is not related to Netflix.
Okay.
I think we need to What's the name add of this movie sometime soon. I can't remember.
Bong Joon-ho movie 2019.
I can't remember. Just check it out.
I check, but who cares? So, I was afraid that this was actually going to be the situation that you two would watch this movie and go, I cannot with this fucking stupid movie. Because it means that the only people that like this movie are people who spent an inordinate time following the exploits of Sylvia Berlusconi.
When Sylvia Berlusconi was at its peak, that was when I was very much into watching a lot of Bloomberg.
Right.
And that was also kind of during, is it during or maybe kind of a little after this whole, you know, Greece is fallen and the euro is whatever. And so it became a big part of what was in
this
the news.
This is when he was in full scale court battles.
So I very much know a lot of what happened. Mm-hmm. And oh boy, I agree. If I were Paolo Sorrentino, I agree. It makes for a real good romp. But as I said, I think it's because, and I'm sticking to this as much as I'm, there's something deep down in my darkest abyss that believes that I'm wrong. I still am holding on to the fact that I don't like this movie simply because I watched the condensed version. And it just wasn't what he wanted to show. Some suit somewhere told him to cut it up the wrong way. And you can see it, Damian.
Right.
In, I don't know if you watched
I only saw part one.
Because
I haven't seen the second
part. To me, like, especially early on in the movie, there were some scenes that just did not make sense. Right? There was a point where it cut to Sergio's girlfriend having sex with, or being raped actually by, some politician who is like the mortal enemy of, Silvia Berlusconi, but with no explanation. Yet I looked it up on the Wikipedia and it explained that, you know, something about how he asked her to get involved with him to do some sort of leverage and it got out of hand. There was no point in the movie where that happened. And so I really think that there's something off with the version that I saw in terms of the fact it's condensed and they take out a lot of things. So I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that when I can actually get my hands on the ridiculous version, that I'll enjoy.
So I haven't seen the condensed version and I haven't seen part two. So the cut, I just saw part one. I don't know where I got the information that the second part came out this year.
Yeah, I think both of them came out last year, like in Italy, obviously, but it's hard to find it. It's not on any streaming things that I could find.
I've talked to two other people that like this movie. Unfortunately, both those people are Italian. And what they enjoyed is the pantomime of what this, they're just like,
what they enjoy is,
of course,
they're like,
because there are times when there's like a party, when Silvio's at his peak, and I could almost get into it because I'm like, oh, this is like the great beauty. Mm-hmm. I like this. But it just never flowed. There was always a point where it broke. And I was like, what? What's going on? And again, I think it's because I watched Condensed
Version. Like, talking
essentially,
to them.
Somebody told him, yo, you cannot make people sit down for 20 hours.
Right.
And he said, but. And so as a fuck you to the suits, he made it bad.
Talking to them, it was, I got the sense they had the same feelings that I had, which is, this man is running a country. And at the center of his empire is a pimp. I want you to follow these things.
And that's another thing. In the version I saw, he never got to the center of the empire.
Oh my God.
Right? So he barely... There was one big party that he got invited to, and you could kind of see that they were trying to show that he's getting closer and closer. Yeah. But when I guess you would have, the assumption is he was there, it was just one party and it was over. And so again,
right,
it's this condensed thing.
Well,
I think that's what
me up. But the first,
because I love how this movie starts.
Yeah.
The in the boat with the guy.
First of all, a sheep takes enough cocaine.
Oh yes,
to
I forgot about that. When I saw that, so clearly I'm just trying to piece the story together. When I saw that, I immediately hunkered down. I said, "Doug,
I am ready.
You're going to watch a movie."
the sheep had to go inside to get some AC. Collapse.
Paolo watched Holy Motors and said, I can make that pretty.
I never recognized a sheep had cocaine in that equation. I just saw a sheep die of AC and got confused.
I didn't recognize AC either. I thought Damon was just making a joke. But hey.
Yeah. He went inside to get some AC. The sheep was like, okay, I did it. Silvio Berlusconi lived a life that doesn't sound real. And the more I read, the more fascinated I became. But the part that I truly never considered, and it was until talking to these two guys, where they were like, the difference between him and the situation that we're having here with Trump is that the feel on the ground was that shit was getting done. Like, he was a criminal, he was a whoremonger, he was clearly a monster, but he was the monster that rallied everyone. The reason everything worked while he was busy sniffing a mountain of cocaine and fucking everything that moved was because he was able to get everybody on his side. I mean, yes, he used cocaine and prostitutes to get it there, but he got it there. And so although they were younger at the time, the two guys that are my friends, they were younger at the time. So much like us living through the era of like PJ Patterson, like we didn't feel it as much as the old, because we didn't, but he was just like, there was a sense of dread. There's people who clearly hated him because everyone knew he was a criminal. But there was never a sense of panic. They still got shit done. And so what this movie did was give me a window into just how... Because when you read something on the page, you can kind of imagine it. But when someone spends the time and they're just like, all right, let me put on screen the type of lunacy that this man was exposing everyone to. And you're just like, boy, this is, that man is fascinating. But everyone else seemed to dislike this. Everybody, like, there's a lot of reviews on the internet that shares your guy's sentiments where they're just like, it is a bridge too far for the man that gave us the great beauty. I
I'm on record as not being a fan of The Great Beauty.
Yeah, I don't think you like any of his movies that we've watched.
Nuh-uh.
Because we watched Youth and you didn't like it.
Not even a little bit.
Great Beauty, you didn't like it.
Hard pass.
We watched that other movie. I can't remember the name of it, but it also had Great Beauty Man and he went to like some small town. Yeah. He was an accountant, I think, for the mob.
Right.
I like that movie. None of you fuckers like that movie.
So that is why I was so surprised that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
But that is what also gives me pause, because I fear that it is, I'm bringing too much outside knowledge to this movie, and what I'm enjoying is not the actual movie. It is just having a visualization of the lunacy that I imagined while reading and listening to these articles about this cartoon man.
Mm-hmm.
Laurel, thump this up.
I know, right?
Kind of expected that. Let me not say that. I was worried that that was going to be the case. But I still like it. Berlusconi is still one of the most fascinating characters that I've ever... Like, he is like one of those Roman emperors from the past. Andrew, so there's this place called Rome. There's this thing called history. Yes, actually, he is. He built the Colosseum. Okay, cool.
I know there. Yeah. I've seen there.
Okay, right. Yeah.
They're knocking down the San Siro, so does that mean that it's the end of history now? Okay.
Probably. I didn't watch Stranger Things.
Neither have I. I've not watched it yet.
Didn't watch season one.
I have, but yeah.
Didn't watch season two. Part of it was because the entire internet was just like...
I figured you were going to say that. That's how you always roll, right? You wait like 6 months and you're like, okay, now that I no longer have any expectations, let's see.
Everybody's like, this TV show is the best thing to happen to TV since TV. So before season three started, I went, all right, let me see if it's worth watching the show, because people are acting like Stranger Things is good.
Yeah.
I'd go as far as saying there, season two, there's points where it is very good.
I actually, weirdly enough, was... Mm-hmm. more disappointed than anything in season two. I love season one, probably because at the time I didn't know what was going on, right? I didn't catch the fever. It just came out and I saw it on the first day and I was like, what's this? And almost didn't watch it because it's a fucking children's show. But I was like, yeah, sure, let's see what happens. And it blew my mind. So maybe, you know, because then mind was blown and I'm like, all right, ready for season two. Then it was not the mind-blowing thing that it was originally, you know? But I didn't mind at all this third season. I liked it quite a bit.
What I found remarkable is that somehow, some way, nothing about the show was spoiled for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know how I threaded that needle.
Yeah, like, that's
I watched
special.
That entire show.
Because, I mean, just the fact that Eleven has superpowers, that alone is...
Didn't know what Eleven was.
How did you not know that?
Did not. the thing is, if you heard in a vacuum 2 years ago, Eleven has superpowers, those are words arranged in English. In a sentence, I guess, but not one that makes sense to people who don't watch Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And so none of that ever registered to me at all. So I watched the first season and was kind of surprised that this is the thing that everyone was killing themselves over. And then in season two, because it had a darker tone and a lot of bad things happened. Like, this world, the upside down, the creatures that it is creating are dangerous creatures. But because the first season was surrounded
was surrounding children, there wasn't ever a real true sense of danger. Mm-hmm. Like, they did things, but I was never really worried about the cast. I always felt that the children would survive.
Yeah.
Season 2 dispelled me off that notion. Season 2 is just like, no, things are, we're murdering people. Yeah, oh, I don't care if there's children in the show. I'm here to kill people.
Did you watch, have you watched the third one, by the way?
I haven't seen the third season.
One thing I will say about the third season is I really appreciate whoever is responsible for Eleven's wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
She is on point.
She's looking real menacing all the time.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. She's wearing clothes like... So have you ever seen what Weird Al looks like?
Yes.
That's what Eleven looks like.
All right.
Almost all the time.
I'm on board. That seems dumb. Just like, listen, she's not of this world. So let us dress her like Weird Al.
Yes.
I was sold. I was sold on Stranger Things from when I heard the John Carpenter sounds.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah. So the thing about Stranger Things for me, you know how Netflix has put in this thing where you can skip through the beginnings?
Yes.
Which is perfect. It's so
useful. I want every streaming service to use it.
Agreed, except Amazon has tried, and I don't know if it's just Android or if it is actually Amazon. I just blame everything on Amazon at this point. It doesn't work. They need to fix their button. But with this show, I actually don't want to do that. I enjoy, as simple as it is, because I'm sure you've watched the intro and seen what it is. I enjoy the Stranger Things and the intro. Yeah.
What's funny is that I was going to say that is true with a lot of TV shows. And then I remember that anime is also a TV show, and that is false for most
animes. There are very few animes that I want to actually watch the opening more than once.
Yeah. Yeah. Once and done. That's enough for most TV shows.
I disagree.
Really?
Some of them...
Unless the beginnings are like Breaking Bad, where it's like, yeah, we started. I don't know why we're watching all of that shit.
So, for standard TV shows... 100%.
Okay, cool.
Some of these animes have some kick-ass songs.
Yeah, I agree. So actually, you know what else I realized that I should not do this with? And I almost want to watch it again just to see if I've missed anything. But maybe I should just watch it again because I want to watch it again. Is Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I kept doing that because I was like, I don't need to. I love the song, but yeah. I don't need to hear it every time. And then... when I skipped through one, I noticed like I kind of heard that one sound like somebody stopped talking. And I said, well, what's that? And I rewound it. And apparently during that intro, there was a whole thing that was going on. And so I wonder if they, similar to what Rick and Morty does at the end of their episodes, mm-hmm. I wonder if they just do that all the time.
I don't know because I've always skipped through it.
Yeah.
Season 1 of One Punch Man has an opening song that I love so much that I bought that song. Not the full album.
One thing I've learned about theme songs that are actually songs mm-hmm. is that they tend to be disappointing. You tend to really like the part that you always hear and then everything else is... It's just, it might not even be that it's not good enough, mm-hmm. but it's not what you've always heard, you know?
It is the reverse with this specific song.
Okay.
Where this song is so good that I have set it as my alarm.
Wow.
Just the middle part of the song. So in the morning, it just goes. And then the guy loses his goddamn mind towards the end of the song. It's like Japanese metal. And it is tremendous. And I really... like, trying to watch that show, even though it's the same song every time, trying to watch that show without that entrance feels weird. Mm-hmm. And on the final episode, what they do is... They they play the entire song, but not to the same intro. Mm-hmm. The episode is going on and it's a fight, but they just play the song during the fight and it syncs up perfectly. And I'm just like, it's been very weird. Like watching these things that Andrew has recommended or that other people have recommended that I've hand waved away for so many years. Because I'd heard of One Punch Man a long time ago, but the premise is so stupid.
Oh, yeah.
I just assumed it was bad. I thought it was some dumb joke. And so it is things like that and like football, like the NFL, that now it occupies so much of my mind that I don't understand what it was that kept me from enjoying this from a long time ago. Like, it felt like I was actively depriving myself of something all the years that I didn't do this. Which is dangerous because Andrew's wrong about a lot of things.
I heard my name.
A lot of things. And I don't want to hinge things on Andrew's recommendations because he's a monster. But he's been right a lot. Especially in his anime. That Hinamatsuri. I like it.
So fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Mob Boss. Is that the name of it? Is that what it translates, what? Andrew? Is it Mob Boss?
Mob Psycho.
Mob Psycho. It's not.
Isn't it Saw Boss?
Oh, God. Can you type Jason the Real Warriors into Amazon for me, please? I need to know how much money I need to spend.
I love that show so much. Yep, there you go.
Right?
Complete series.
It was some dumb joke.
$9.16. Right.
Some dumb joke got me to buy all of Allo Allo. So.
I love that show.
It is.
Oh.
Douglas, when was the last time you saw that?
Was it
as a child?
No, actually. I was watching it recently.
Okay.
So it was on Netflix. And I was like, I remember watching this as a child. Is this any good? And I started watching and I just kept going. I haven't finished yet, but I'm deep in. It's
Douglas,
so good.
It's so,
I mean, the
simple, I don't know how children, like, no. I let so, children watch that.
Damien, whoever thought, right? Whoever came up with the concept of what these people are using for languages.
Yes.
Is ridiculous. All they're doing is making shitty accents.
Yes.
And if you have a shitty French accent, it means you're speaking French.
Yes.
If you have a shitty British accent, it means you're speaking English. It's brilliant.
It's perfect.
And then to have everybody kind of talk at cross purposes to each other in separate shitty accents and pretend like they don't know what they're saying. And, and just the fact that this 50-year-old, huge, bartender is just killing the game.
Right. He's just the chief womanizer of all time.
Oh my God. It's so good. And I love how innocent the womanizing is.
Yeah.
It's like one of them is so short that she always carries a stool to stand on so she can like hug him or kiss him. And that's it. I mean, you imagine more goes on, but that's how they portray it. And it's so ridiculous.
Douglas, the bondage jokes?
Yes! Oh! With
from
like the various
the Germans?
Like the toilet brush or the, you know, the various things that they need to bring with them up to the room. So good.
Andrew, I don't know if you'll be able to watch all of Allo Allo by the time you come
and
here.
And the two Germans, the one that feels like he should be, he should be starting the Spanish Inquisition.
Yes.
And the secretary?
Perfect.
Perfect.
The secretary is still confused as to why everything. Andrew, I don't know if you can watch all of Allo Allo by the time you land here. But we need to talk about Allo Allo. Like one dedicated podcast to the glory and majesty that is Allo Allo.
Damien, how?
Because it's so good.
So, my memories of this show as a child, I know that it was on television.
Yes.
I know that, like, my grandparents and my parents
Everyone watched it.
And I believe I, too, watched it.
I saw it as a
child. I only kind of vaguely remember that there was kind of a restaurant.
Yes.
People sat at a table and I guess there were jokes. I don't know. That's about as much as I remember.
When I see you, you make my heart go. I remember that.
I don't remember anything specific about
and
the show.
And then I remembered Kloop. As I was a child, it was a funny sound.
Yeah.
I thought that I knew it was a comedy, but didn't realize any of the rest of it.
The fucking Radio to the Resistance.
Dog. Listen. The Resistance.
That mother-in-law.
The Resistance. The Resistance.
I will only say this once.
Say this once. Only once. What is happening?
Andrew.
Every part of this show is perfect.
Andrew, this show. So, you remember how hard we laughed when we watched MASH, the movie? It's better than MASH.
It's better than MASH. That's a guarantee. Because I saw MASH recently. It's better.
MASH is great.
Right. I love MASH.
Oh, boy.
It's not competing.
Actually, I should buy MASH. MASH is so good.
You guys told me to
do that. I know.
You guys are like, Damien, do you remember MASH? I'm like, not really. And you're like, Damien, go get MASH. And I went, boy, these two idiots say I need to get this. And they were right with Serpentine. And they seem much more serious than MASH. Just so everyone knows, that is what I have it named on. I'm just letting everyone know.
That's like, so
you come to my house,
I've taken to aggressively reorganizing my code box because some of the organization don't make any sense. Yes. So all the Bond movies together are together, and you see the actual names, but I've sorted it as Bond movie 1, Bond movie 2. Right?
I just put 007 in front of all of them.
So I started by having it be Bond, comma, James Bond, but I was like, that's dumb. So
I just put 007, comma, in front of all of them.
All the Fast and the Furious, of course, is Fast and Foolishness. Mm-hmm. I have all the Batmanses.
Mm-hmm.
Even I know you have Dark Knight separate, but I just put them Batman 5, 6, and 7, or whatever it is. Yeah. I'm actively doing
I'm upset that movie isn't on the Criterion channel right now.
What movie?
Serpentine.
That movie's so good.
I'm sorry, what's the in-law?
That's not what you're calling Serpentine? Oh, okay. Wait, what are you calling Serpentine?
Oh my god.
That's exactly what
that
he's calling
exactly
Serpentine.
What I'm calling
he's
Serpentine.
Making the joke that he doesn't know a movie called In-Laws.
I don't have a movie called In-Laws. Maybe you do need to go to sleep.
And I love that the only reason we know about that movie is because we watched the new In-Laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Andrew loves that movie, but I actually quite like that movie. And it caused us to be like, oh, is there an old one? Mm-hmm. Let's watch that.
Yeah.
Serpentine. To be fair, I think there is one thing that we need to talk about. So next week, Andrew and I can talk about how we watched Radiohead without the radio or the head. But this week, Damien, you and I, and Andrew, you can fall asleep now.
Mm-hmm.
You and I need to talk about a travesty of the highest order. We both have subscriptions to Netflix.
That is correct.
Netflix has, in the last couple of years, really invested heavily, and I think we're both happy for this, in stand-up comedians.
Right, in the ha-has.
In the ha-has.
Okay.
We both watched one lady who we really like put out a new stand-up comedy special. Her name is Catherine Ryan. Now, I know your take on this. I'm actually a lot more lenient. I don't mind this stand-up special, but I do appreciate and admit that it's nowhere near the levels that I had anticipated. It's nowhere near the ridiculous sarcasm and just horrible sort of statements that she usually makes.
Douglas.
But Damon, I want to hear your side of the story.
Douglas, if we are benchmarking her against Amy Schumer, then yes, this is not that bad. But it said Catherine Ryan. I didn't name her that.
Mm-hmm.
She named herself that. I didn't tell her to put out far superior stand two Fire Superior standout specials.
Ooh, on, I've only seen one.
On the Netflix. The
no, there's not two on Netflix.
All right, I don't know where I saw the other one.
Oh, okay.
Who cares?
Well, I need to search Netflix.
I've seen two of her specials, and she is majestic. Then she put out this. This is, listen, you don't get to set a high bar, not clear it, and have me go, all right, it's okay. No. Joe Coy is terrible.
He's horrible.
But he has 15 minutes when he shits on his son in the new special. That is tremendous. That is because his bar is so low that I would say, if you're already there, skip 45 minutes in, watch the last 15, and you'll see why people, I guess, give him money to tell jokes.
Catherine Ryan is not.
That is not. None of... If James A. Castor or Daniel Sloss put out a special, this shit, we wouldn't even talk about it. It's bad. Listen to me. She's better than this. These jokes feel watered down for him. Like, this, it's just bad. It is just bad by her standards. I don't care about other people's standards. That is not... Her name was on it. I expect better. Right? If... Put it this way. If I go to... I mean, it's never going to happen because I'm not allowed to leave the country. If I go to a Radiohead concert and it is garbage,
mm-hmm,
but it is only garbage by Radiohead standards, guess what? It's still garbage. Right? If by Smash Mouth standards it is a masterpiece, give a fuck. It's not how I do this. It's not how this works. Right? If her name weren't attached to it, I wouldn't have watched it.
Mm-hmm.
At all. But her name was there, so I got very excited.
Yeah.
Right? I saw it.
I got so excited, I watched it the same day I saw it. The same second
here's,
I saw it.
Here's how much Netflix was confident. Netflix sent me the email. They're like, yo, dog.
I didn't even get that email.
Yo, dog, Thursday. Me and you. And Catherine. Let's do this.
I don't even know how I was home at a time on a Thursday where I was able to actually watch this thing. But
I
watched it immediately.
I felt joy in my heart. She started out by mocking the people in the front row. And I was like, yes. Once she gets to the jokes, this will be good because our crowd work always on point. And then the jokes didn't come and then the show ended and I was very upset.
To be fair, it was no Adam Devine.
Look here. Look here. Remember my Smash Mouth analogy?
Damien, we've been getting some serious disappointments lately, haven't we? Because, I mean, at least to be fair to this... I went the full way through Catherine Ryan and I could not even finish Divine.
There's no jokes with
but
Divine.
We've gotten a couple of disappointments. Netflix needs to come hard the next time.
Slossness Monster, James A. Castle. So yes, they've led us astray, but...
And who was the other guy? Was it Ari?
Ari.
He was really good.
Anthony Jeselnik?
He was also really good. But no, it was a guy named Ari something. Hold on, let me tell you. Right. No, it's not Bert Kreischer, but he's...
saying there. Is
also I was right. Is it Ari Shaffir?
Ari Shaffir. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He was real good.
And, of course, they brought Dave Chappelle back from the dead.
Yes, that they did. Or the desire for money brought Dave Chappelle back from the dead. Whichever one you'd like to believe.
Pick one. He plays tennis.
I'm looking forward to, but I know you hate this show. I'm looking at, well, maybe me and Andrew can talk about this now, even though this is more expectations than actually watching something. But Netflix just announced that Jerry Seinfeld is coming back with his show, Coffee and Cars with Comedians. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I know Andrew was bigging it up for a long time, and I kind of said, ah, fuck that internet show. Mm-hmm. TV shows can't be on the internet. That's bullshit. Guess who was wrong?
Turns out you were right all along. TV shows don't belong on the internet.
Oh my gosh. And I'm actually upset with myself that because I did not get into it from day one, there's at least one episode I know I haven't watched because, and I assume this has to do something with rights. For some reason, Netflix has not put up the episode with George Costanza actually pretending to be George Costanza, which I can just imagine must be marvelous. And I'm too lazy to find it otherwise.
To like go to YouTube and type George Costanza.
Yeah.
Let me see. Costanza.
Guys, I like the Seinfeld show.
You like? I thought you didn't like Seinfeld.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, look.
I don't think it is the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Yeah, fair enough.
Jerry Seinfeld hasn't been funny for 25 years.
Yeah, he's not.
No, him doing stand-up isn't. I've never
found him funny at stand-up. Yeah.
Let me rephrase. Jerry Seinfeld hasn't been funny anywhere at anything in the last 25 years.
I clearly wanted to hide it, which is why it's not in my list of things I watched. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I saw the other day? It's a Netflix special. And it's related to Seinfeld. And this is why I remembered it. Do you remember Andrew Seinfeld had this girl on? She's a YouTube.
Yep, I know who you're talking about.
Sensation.
With the, with Miranda the Sings. Lipstick and all.
Yup, she has a Netflix special.
Is it good?
All right, do not watch it, please. Because you're not going to like it. Or if you watch it, just know I'm not recommending it to you.
All right.
I really appreciated it. I don't think... first of all, it's not intended for me. It's weird how much like... It's more like I respect the special than I like the special. Because it became clear after a couple minutes that she's straight up... Have you ever watched that show, that movie with Edward Norton in it? And he's a purple dinosaur. What's the name of that show?
Death to Smoochie.
Death to Smoochie.
Yes.
She is Smoochie. Ah. She is a performer for children. And they show up at her shows. And when I say children, you know, like fucking 10-year-olds, 5-year-olds, couple teenagers in there. And she does things like what Smoochie does, where like she gets them to come up on stage. She gets them to fucking sing along with her. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't stop watching it.
Fascinating.
It was fascinating. Sure. There were a couple of jokes that I chuckled at. And I was like, haha, that's funny. But it was just like the spectacle of it.
Right. She's a comedian for children. She's an entertainer for children.
She's a clown.
Yeah. I really liked it.
Andrew, don't use derogatory.
because I saw her on Seinfeld and I love the character that she played. She was this just horrible person. I was like, ooh, I'd like to see that horrible person for an hour. Maybe that would be funny. She never really was that.
Is there a part two where she's a horrible person?
So it's actually, it is kind of in two parts. Mm-hmm. She comes out as herself, her real person. And then
her real person.
Yeah. Whatever her actual name is. And she, you know, shows that she's actually talented and can sing and very good and whatever. I want to say actually talented. That's
not interesting.
But whatever. Then she changes on stage into the thing.
Right.
And she becomes that person. But that person isn't quite... She's not the mean that she showed to Jerry Seinfeld. She's like a little bit mean, but still kind of playing it for children.
Right.
So it's, you know, but just the spectacle of it and the technical prowess of what she does. Right.
She's in it for the kids.
Yeah, So, I mean, I almost wanted to watch it just so that me and you can talk about it, but I cannot... in good conscience ask you to watch it.
Sure.
Whom can I run to? What have you done to my heart?
Yes, Ava. girl in Paris. Chestnut blossoms, holiday tables under the trees, babe, April in Paris.